For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How are you now? How are you now? I think my voice is starting to sound kind of normal now anyways. Somewhat over my cold, but not 100%. So, hello and welcome to episode 78 of the Bottom 6 Minutes podcast presented by Habs Eyes and the Prize. I am Matt Drake, and we're here to talk about your Montreal Canadiens back at the Bell Center, the second last game that they'll be playing at home this season against the Philadelphia Flyers. And got to set the stage a little bit for this one, I guess, because the Flyers are still somehow in a playoff race at this point. They have, coming into this game anyways, 83 points, right? So they're right up there, tied with Washington, a point behind Pittsburgh and Detroit. Now, it must be said, the Metro Division is a bit of a joke. Like, it is the division of mediocrity this season. They have two good teams, the Rangers and the Hurricanes. They currently have the New York Islanders in third place in that division with 85 points. 85 points would be good for fifth place in the Atlantic Division. So obviously the Atlantic is the far superior division in the Eastern Conference. And look, the Flyers, for better or worse, they still have a shot at getting into the playoffs. But they need some wins. And, you know, losing to the Montreal Canadiens in one of your final games of the season, that would be pretty much a death blow to your playoff chances, I would think. So I'll let you know whether or not that happened through my recap here. But first, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And I got to tell you, folks, it was a pretty screaming hot start for the Montreal Canadiens in this one. Less than 2 minutes into the game, the Habs get set up in the offensive zone after a bit of a labored line change for Philadelphia. They had two of their players collide, so they weren't ready for it. One of them, I forget who it was shaken up. So it took them a little bit longer to get the right personnel out there to face the top line of the Montreal Canadiens. And Cole Caulfield gets it up near the top of the circle. Everyone knows he's thinking shot from that position, but he doesn't see a good lane to take a shot, and instead he just lays it on a platter for Mike Matheson, and he hammers it past Samuel Erson to make it 1-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. But hang on just a second. We take a closer look at that play from the overhead camera, and turns out Juraj Slafkovský got a piece of that on the way. So that'll be his 17th goal of the season, and it's 1-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. That seemed to wake the Flyers up a little bit. Like, all of a sudden they remembered that they still have a chance at making the playoffs, and they need some wins in order to do that. But it was a relatively even-ish period from there on out. I think the Flyers probably got the better scoring chances, but Semyon Moldavo played well from there on out, and we go into the second period with a 1-0 lead in the favor of the Montreal Canadiens. And in the second period, that's where this game got absolutely nuts. Early goings of the second period, again, the Flyers are getting the better of the scoring chances, Semyon Moldavo playing well to keep the one-goal lead alive, and then near the midway point, the Montreal Canadiens at some point just decided, we're going to start scoring some goals and we're going to score them in bunches. Near the midway point, the Habs gain the zone. It's their top line again, doing work in the offensive zone. Nick Suzuki gets it on the left-hand side. He draws two defenders over to him, sauces it over to Juraj Slafkovský on the other side. He cashes his second of the game just like that, and it's 2-0. Not long after that, it's the second line this time. They get a zone entry, throw it back up to the point. Jordan Harris goes across the blue line to Johnny Kovacevic. He hammers it on goal, and Brendan Gallagher gets a tip on the way, and that makes it 3-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. And they're not done. Just a little later, David Savard gets the puck just inside the Habs line on transition. He has a look down ice and throws a perfect pass down the middle to Juraj Slafkovský. He's in for a breakaway with a chance at his first career hat trick. Takes it to the forehand and dunks it. First career hattie for Juraj Slafkovský, and he makes it 4-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. And they're still not done. A few minutes later, Josh Anderson's driving wide, doing the same move that he always does. We've seen him do this 100, maybe 1,000 times in his time with the Montreal Canadiens, where he just drops his shoulder and drives towards the net with the puck. It's precisely what he does this time, but he gets hooked on the way by Seeler. There's a penalty coming to the Philadelphia Flyers if this puck does not go into the net. But puck gets stopped by Erson, kicks back off of Anderson and into the net, and it's 5-0 for the Montreal Canadiens. That's the end of the night for Erson. They would bring out Ivan Fedotov after that. And a few minutes later, even with the goalie change, the Habs are still not done. The Flyers get a couple of scoring chances at one end, then the Habs just go the other way, and this time it's Christian Dvorak. He gets the zone entry, does a little give and go with Jesse Ylinen, gets it back and goes short side on Fedotov, and that makes it 6-0 for Montreal going into the third period. Now, I know the Habs have been one of the worst teams in the league with a lead this season, but a 6-0 lead, you know, with Samuel Montembeau giving you a pretty good performance in net, all things considered, you got to think that's going to be pretty safe. And it's just a game, really, for them in the third period of not allowing 6 goals, which feels like something you should reasonably be able to do any night. The urgency is also gone for them, though, at the beginning of the period. About 5 minutes into it, that results in Ryan Poehling picking up a puck at the top of the zone, walks in completely unchallenged, and beats Samuel Montembeau clean and makes it 6-1. So all of the goals, 7 goals in this game, they've all been scored by Habs, or former Habs in this case of Ryan Poehling. And it's going to be a long comeback still for the Philadelphia Flyers in this one. And the Habs decide to make it even longer for them. Just past the midway point, Raphaël Harvey-Pinard is trying to put a puck into the middle of the ice as he comes in on net. But it bounces off a defender and back to the same side. And Christian Dvorak is right there, picks it up. Johnny on the spot, puts it home. 7-1 for the Habs. A few minutes later, we get a wild one. Brendan Gallagher, puck gets flipped up in the air all the way into the Flyers zone. Brendan Gallagher shows some wheels that I think most people didn't think he had anymore. Wins that race, beats 2 different Flyers to that puck, and he takes it to the forehand on Fedotov and makes it 8-1 for the Montreal Canadiens. Now at this point, the game is basically over. However, Joel Farabee would get one back by pouncing on a loose puck in the slot with a few minutes left. Ryan Poehling would do the same thing and add another one to make it 8-3. And the Flyers could have a chance here to do the craziest thing ever, but no, they can't. Brendan Gallagher again. This time he gets a 2-on-1 with Yoel Armia, slides it across to Armia, and Armia cashes it in. 9-3 is your final score in favor of the Montreal Canadiens. What a game. From a team that's absolutely not in a playoff race against a team that is very much involved in one and really needed that game, you wouldn't know which team was which by watching that game if you didn't have acute existing knowledge of what the standings are at this point in the season. The Habs looked like the much hungrier team. They looked like the much more gifted offensive team. And the stats paint the picture of a little bit closer game than it was in terms of score. So goaltending definitely didn't help Philly, but you got to give the Habs credit for that one. That was a pretty impressive game from them. Tank Nation, I don't even know what you want me to say. That's just one that we're going to have to deal with, and hope that Arizona and Ottawa can win some more games on the way out to keep us in that top 5 spot. So, hey, them's the breaks. There's not a whole lot you can do when the team scores 9 goals. You can't expect them to lose somehow. That would be ridiculous. And of course, they did not. So what are you going to do? Player of the game? Do I need to say it? Like, do I even need to spend any time on it? Well, I'm going to spend some time on it anyways. But of course, it's Juraj Slafkovský. He was the first star of the night in the Bell Center. Should be the first star in all of your programs as well. What a game from him, and what a season from him so far. I think most fans had targeted like a 40-point season for him as being something successful, like a really good step forward for him. Now he's got 48 on the year. 48 on the year, and he might actually notch his first 20-goal season. He's still got a few games left to get one more to make that happen. if that's not, you know, blowing any projections out of the water, I don't know what is. I don't know anybody that predicted he was going to be this good this year, especially last year. You know, looked a little lost out there at times, ended up getting hurt and missing a big chunk of the season. There was a lot of people, you know, doing a lot of hand-wringing and wondering whether or not he might be a bust. Certainly a lot of fans of other teams have been gleefully claiming that he's a bust as recently as a couple of weeks ago. And Now you're seeing the guy, 48 points on the year, gets his first career hat trick, looks like an absolute beast out there. And you got to remember, he is still one of the youngest players in the league right now. Matter of fact, a pretty interesting tidbit of information came out. My boy, Andrew Zadornowski, figured out that he is the second youngest player in Montreal Canadiens history to register a hat trick in an NHL game. The youngest was Stéphane Richer. And the second, or the third youngest now, the second youngest before Juraj Slafkovský did it, was Guy Lafleur. So he's in some pretty fine company with what he just did in that game. And I think it speaks to something that a lot of people have really glossed over in their so-called analysis of Juraj Slafkovský over the course of the last two seasons. It's just how young this guy actually is. And this is something that I've been trying to battle with people about over Twitter for at least the better part of this season and definitely going into last year as well. You can't just sit there and write off players when they're 19, 20 years old. You don't know what it is that they're going to become. So having like a hot take out there being like, this guy's a bust, he sucks, and he's never going to be shit. You probably don't want to say things like that because the guy could turn around, have a wonderful season, and absolutely make you look like a moron. Look at what Alexis Lafreniere is doing this year with the Rangers. He's having the best season he's ever had, for sure. Looking like he's on track to becoming, you know, maybe not an absolute superstar or a generational talent, but certainly looking like he might be able to live up to his draft position at least. You know, it's the same thing. You don't want to dump on a guy too early before he really gets a chance to go out there and prove himself. And Juraj Slafkovský, I mean, he's even younger than Lafreniere, so way too early was it, you know, early this season or last year even, to be making any kind of grand proclamations about what he is or what he's going to be. Give the guy a chance. The Montreal Canadiens did, and they're reaping the rewards now. What a season from him. Honestly, cannot wait to see what he looks like next year. I talked about this when I was on Cole Caulfield last episode, right? If Cole Caulfield's shooting percentage gets back to about his career average, Juraj Slafkovský is going to have a bucket of additional assists coming off those goals. He gets plenty of touches. Every time the first line's out there, the puck's on his stick at some point. I wish I had data on that. I wish I had data on how many times he touched the puck in that game. It was actually probably low in that game because once they built a big lead, they were really rolling four lines. So I think the ice time was a lot more even than it would normally be. But, you know, he was still, he had the puck on his stick plenty in that game. So player of the game, that should have been obvious. And what a season from him. Honestly, if I'm excited about anything in the remaining, what, four games that they've got to play, it's to see, like, how high can he get this total? Can he cross that 50-point plateau? That would be something. That would be a really good silver lining for the overall season to talk about. Moving on, because obviously there are other great performances as well. I think I got to go to Brendan Gallagher next. He would have been a close second for me for player of the game in that one. Not only did he nearly have a hat trick, but he gave up a legitimate shot. Like at that last goal, the 9-3 goal, he could have just taken the shot and tried to get himself a hat trick. But instead, he looks over and gives one to Yoel Armia. And I'll have more on Yoel Armia in a minute. But I just really thought that was a very team-friendly thing, a very selfless thing for Brendan Gallagher to do. And I think we all know this guy's been like a heart and soul guy for the Montreal Canadiens for a long time. Obviously, his contract, you know, bit of a problem. But I think most of us fans are willing to let that go because of the effort level that he shows night in and night out. And I think a more interesting take as well on his play was that goal that he scored where he won the race. As I mentioned in the recap, I don't think anybody believed that he still had wheels like that on him. And I don't want to make any grand proclamations. I'm going to say the same thing about, you know, players that are 30 plus. You don't want to make grand proclamations about what they might be able to do next year. But I'll tell you what, Brendan Gallagher keeps bringing the effort that he's been bringing for the last couple of weeks, the last month and a half or so. I think he's going to be closer to living up to the dollar amount that he's paid on the current contract than he is this season. I think a lot less people are going to be complaining about that contract in general. Again, because the cap is going up, and because the way he's playing right now definitely comes at least close to befitting that salary amount. I don't know. I think there's a chance that deal looks a little bit better next year than it does right now. And I guess I'll go straight to Yoel Armia from that, because that goal that Brendan Gallagher gave to Yoel Armia with the 2-on-1 was his 17th of the year. And turns out that's actually a career high for Yoel Armia. He's never scored more than 16 goals until this season. this goes to something that I've said in multiple recent episodes, that, you know, the resurgence of Joel Armia since he got sent down to Laval has been an absolute treat to watch. He's become a completely different player. Unlike Gallagher, he's going to have no problem living up to that contract next season if he plays exactly like this. Matter of fact, I think teams are going to be clamoring to get their hands on Joel Armia at the deadline next season if Montreal is not in a playoff position. They're going to be getting calls about a player like that at the dollar amount he's paid with the way that he's playing right now. 100%. I'd be shocked if he doesn't get moved at the deadline, if Montreal doesn't need him. That being said, he keeps playing like that, and you put him in like a third-line role, they very well might be a playoff team next season. Just look at what they just did to the Philadelphia Flyers, who are very close to being a playoff team this year. If that's what they're capable of, and then they're going to improve themselves next year, look out, man. I really think this team could push for the playoffs, and Joel Armia could be a big part of that. So who knows, man? Who knows? And who else should I talk about? Oh, Christian Dvorak. Comes back first game after a long absence due to injury and pots two goals. Woof. Even Juraj Slafkovský in his interview after the game, he said he was super happy for Devo. And I think everybody should be super happy for him. And, you know, I'm gonna say something here that's maybe not the nicest thing to say after somebody just scored two goals. But I think that they really need to try and trade him. The good news is that if he can string together a few performances like that at the end of the season here, it's entirely possible they might be able to find somebody who's willing to take him on in the offseason, maybe at the draft. They do need to make some trades, right? We know that they're a little bit overstocked on defense, and they're definitely overstocked in the center department, which Christian Dvorak is a center. That's one of the biggest reasons why I think they need to trade him, because they just don't have space for him, and I don't see how he fits with the current lineup and the way that they've had some other players come up this season. And over the last two seasons, it's just not, I don't think, a fit anymore at this point. But I wish him nothing but the best. And hey, if he gets a couple more multi-goal games from here to the end of the year, you never know. They might be able to find a really good deal for him and get him over to another team and give him a chance to compete to get into the playoffs next season. And then, of course, you can't end the episode without talking about some of the D. David Savard, another great game from him. When he made that pass to send Juraj Slafkovský for the breakaway, I had initially, because I take notes on the game, right? That's the way that I have my recap. I just have some very shorthand notes to let me know what order the goals happen in so I don't forget. And I had initially written down, I'm like, oh, very nice pass by Matheson. Sends Slafkovský for a breakaway. I just assumed that Matheson was the guy who would make that pass. And then I had to look at the replay again, and I saw it. I was like, well, that's number 58. That's David Savard that made that pass? What the f-? Like, I didn't believe it. And, you know, it's been a string of really nice games from him lately. You don't often see him flash the offensive ability very much. But when he does, man, he is capable of some really interesting plays offensively. You know, unfortunately, he's another guy that I would probably try to trade in the offseason. Like I said, bit of a logjam coming up on defense right now. But look, even if they don't trade him and they're running him next year, if he's playing like that, he's going to be a useful guy for them. Blocks a lot of shots, and that pass was just sublime to send Slafkovský. I thought Mike Matheson had a really good game as well. Obviously got a goal that, you know, it was his for a second, but it got taken away. And you look at the defense around the league this season, Mike Matheson, I think he's top 10 in scoring among defensemen, which is nuts because he's not paid like a top 10 scoring defenseman. His contract is... He's not broke or anything. I think he's probably feeling pretty good about his bank account at the very least. But he might actually be underpaid. The amount of points that he's putting up befit a contract a little richer than the one that he's got. And look, if they start trading defensemen, I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Matheson ends up getting moved either at the deadline or not at the deadline. What am I talking about? Either at the draft or some point in the offseason, but I would also not be surprised whatsoever if they want to hang on to him, if they want him to be like their one super veteran guy that they keep around, because, you know, the things he's capable of doing offensively, they're certainly going to elicit some offers, but they also might make you want to keep him around, because you can't just have nothing but young guys on the blue line. You got to have at least one or two veterans. I don't know. If it's not Savard, it would probably have to be Matheson. So another really good game from him and a really great season from him overall. Outside of that, Jaden Struble, very good game defensively. Jordan Harris had a great game as well. And I'll say it, I like Justin Barron once more. right? We found out earlier today, Arbor Jack guy done for the year. He's having surgery on his other shoulder this time. So Justin Barron getting a bit of an audition here at the end of the season to try and prove himself. And so far, so good. Again, another guy, is he auditioning for a trade or is he auditioning for a spot with the Habs? Who cares? Either way, you got to play well. And so far, he is. Alex Newhook had a really good game. Who else? I think everybody had a really good game there. I really don't think there was any bad games. Caden Primeau even had a good game. I mean, he faced about the same amount of shots as the two goaltenders for the Flyers did, and he just allowed six less. So I think you could call that a pretty successful night for the Montreal Canadiens on the whole. I'm going to cut it off there because I'm still feeling a little bit, there you go, under the weather, and I need to get myself to bed. We're running a little over 20 minutes. Alors, c'est une grosse soirée pour les employés de soutien. We are on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. I'm on Twitter at DrakeMT. Drop me a follow. I'd appreciate that very much. This episode was brought to you by BetOnline. Thank you, as always, for listening. And, of course, à la prochaine.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.